take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18. We'll read verse number 14 together in unison. We'll turn to some other passages here as well. Proverbs, chapter 18, verse number 14. Proverbs 18:14. Let's read this verse together. Ready? The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Now turn back to chapter 16 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. We'll read verse number 19 together. Let's read this verse also in unison. Ready? Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 8.
Let me read to you again the passage of Scripture, one verse that we read earlier, Proverbs 18:14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I usually have a strong spirit. Many things in life come upon me. They hit me. And thus far, my spirit has sustained me. I'm going to tell you tonight how you can weather the storms of life and how your spirit can sustain you. When I was a boy, I remember my mom bought me a nice baseball glove, a brand new baseball glove. Well, I had studied about what you need to do with a baseball glove if you wanted to take good care of it. And I got me some mink oil, and I put that mink oil on it, and I treated it and took care of it, and I treated that thing all up. I did everything they told me to do. Then there were times, I hate to admit it, there are a couple times I left my baseball glove out in a storm, and it got wet, but you know what? That mink oil sustained it. There are times when we were out playing and I'd go to dive for a ball and I'd scrape that baseball glove right through the dust and the dirt and it'd get covered with dust and dirt, but thank God that old mink oil just took care of it. There were times when I'd get mad and I'd throw that thing on the ground, and had it been I don't know if you realize it, but leather can get pretty brittle, and you get nasty enough with that thing, you could actually break or tear that leather. But if I'd lose my temper and throw that thing on the ground, it just almost bounced right back up because it had been treated with that mink oil. You know what I've done? I wanted the mink oil to sustain my baseball glove.
Yes.
What had I done? I had protected that glove so it would stay flexible and usable and productive. Now, a lot of people sitting out there, you say, you know what, I know that, and I've taken care of my baseball glove that way. It's a sad thing. There are all sorts of people that protect their shoes, and they protect their baseball glove, but they don't protect their spirit.
Right.
I'm going to preach to you tonight. It's going to be very practical, but I'm going to teach you a lesson called how to protect your spirit. How to protect your spirit. Your spirit is connected to your attitude or your feelings. Now, I realize we teach, and the Bible teaches, that it is the spirit of man that communicates with the spirit of God. I realize that, and you know that. This term, spirit, that I'm using tonight has to do with your attitude, though. See, if I recommend to you that you protect your spirit, I'm recommending to you that you protect your attitude, or you protect your feelings or your emotions. Tonight, our lesson is on, it's not on the Holy Spirit. Spirit now, it's on your spirit. It's on your attitude, your emotions. That whole little package right there, we'll call it your spirit, your attitude, your emotions. You've got to protect that part of you. Tonight's spirit is that part that the Bible talks about over and over again. Let me read you some verses. 1 Peter 3:4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. There's the Bible talks about the spirit of a person. It's talking about their emotions. It's talking about their attitude. Proverbs 16:19. It says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Again, there's talking about the spirit of man. It's talking about the attitude, that little bundled up unit of your emotion, your attitude, your spirit, all put together there. Ecclesiastes 7:8, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Again, it's talking about the spirit of man, the attitude, the emotion of man. sin. Psalm 51:10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." 1 Kings 21:5, it says, "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do to thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And let me remind you, in that passage of Scripture, Elijah was going to pass on. He said, "What can I do for you, Elisha?" Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." It's not referring to the Holy Spirit there. That the word spirit here is a small s spirit, meaning it was referring to the spirit, the attitude, the emotions of Elijah. Elisha had watched Elijah and said, "You've got your emotions under control. You don't let things destroy your spirit." He said, "And if I'm going to make it in this spiritual war, I've got to get what you have. I've got to get that thing that you have about being able to protect or control those emotions so they don't get the best of me." Look, folks, if you're not careful and you let your heart run away with you, it'll have you doing the craziest things. The Bible says our hearts are deceitful. The Bible says our hearts will lie to us. Now, thank God for emotion. And thank God for our hearts and feelings, but you got to be careful. If you let feelings lead you, you'll be in a mess. You will be in a mess. And Elisha said to Elijah, "I'd like to have a double portion of your spirit, a double portion of your attitude, a double portion of whatever it is that helps you to keep those emotions locked down." And I don't mean badly locked down. I mean under control. I think emotions are there to help us, and they will help us. But Elijah was doing something that impressed Elisha. And Elisha said, "I want to double portion of your spirit. Each of us have a spirit that in the Bible is spelled with a small s. Anytime the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it's supposed to be capitalized because it is a part of our triune God or the Godhead. But we must protect our spirit so it's not broken. Listen, Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Now listen to me. If you knew that there was a chance that something could be broken and that something was valuable, you would do what you could to protect it so it wouldn't be broken. Here the Bible states that your spirit can be broken. Well, let me ask you a question. What are you doing to protect yourself so that your spirit doesn't get broken? You see, if God projects the possibility of a broken spirit, then wise Christians say, "I don't want my spirit broken. Broken spirit's not good." It says a broken spirit drieth the bones. And if I see something that seems as if it's a negative, I better figure out what I could do to keep that negative from coming upon me. We must protect our spirit because it's our spirit that will sustain us. Listen to the verse, Proverbs 18:14. "The spirit of a man will sustain him." It'll sustain his infirmity. When hardship comes upon you, if your spirit's not broken, if your spirit is strong, you will handle the hardship well and right. You'll come forth as gold. But let me tell you something. The wrong hardship comes upon you, and you've got a sour spirit, or you've got a broken spirit, or you've got a quenched spirit, that hardship coming upon you with your spirit being down, you won't have your spirit to sustain you. Now listen, folks. You and I want to be in this to the very end. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be somebody's illustration about old Owens that made it to his 50th birthday in the ministry, but some hardship came upon him, and he just couldn't make it through it. So what do? We know there's a possibility of our spirit being broken or damaged. We better do something to protect it. You better get some mink oil on your spirit so when it gets drugged through the dirt, so when the rains and the storms of life come, you are sustained and you keep on going. But if you don't learn to protect your spirit, you won't make it through like you need to. My granddaughter Alexandra was given by Brother and Mrs. Ord. They gave her some roller skates. Now they got them for her when she was three. Every three-year-old needs roller skates. They gave her that. She had a helmet. She had elbow pads. She had knee pads. None of which she thought she needed. And you all say, well, yes, anybody knows. No, 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 not anybody knows. But you learn. You can learn pretty quick. I don't want to wear that helmet. I don't want to wear those knee pads. I don't want to wear those elbow pads. You get to skating through life, fall flat on your face or flat on something else, you're going to be wanting some pads. Thank God he padded some parts but just because he knew we wouldn't listen. But they bought the helmet, they bought the knee pads, they bought the elbow pads. Why? They knew she'd need protection. Listen to me, folks. You and I, we ought to be smart enough to know that our spirit is so important to us. What are we doing to protect our spirits from being damaged? All I'm going to do tonight is I've looked at myself, I've studied myself, I take a lot of hits in life, and my spirit today, knock on wood, praise God, today, my spirit has sustained me. I don't say, I want to praise God tonight, but let me say, I think you've watched my spirit sustain me. You've watched me go through hardship and heartbreak and take hit after hit, and somehow my spirit sustained me. But let me tell you this. It's by the grace of God. It's also because I learned how to get the helmet on. I learned to put the elbow pads on. I put my knee pads on. And I said, you know, I want to be ready for the hit. When the hit comes, I plan to skate through the hit. I might not get knocked down, but don't plan to get knocked out. I plan to get up each time. But when I say that, listen, I planned it. I planned it. There are certain things that I do to keep my spirit strong. This won't be the best preached sermon that you've ever heard, but it may be the most helpful sermon you've heard in a long, long time. Let me say, first of all, number one, realize you can and should protect your spirit. Realize that you can and you should protect your spirit. Some of you feel like, well, things just come upon you. They just blow you away. What can you do about it? Well, you may not do something about all of them, but you can do something about some of them. Life is not total surprise. There are a few surprises that come in life, but most of the time, we know what the Bible says. We know the routine and the rhythm of life. You're going to get hit. Now, 1 Timothy 4:16 says this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. Notice here, Paul is telling Timothy, take heed unto yourself. In other words, you better keep an eye on you. You better keep your guard up. I'm telling you that you need to realize that you can and you should protect your spirit. Protect your emotion, your attitude, that whole little unit there that's called the spirit. See, many people know to protect, they don't know that they ought to be protecting their spirit. So, they're constantly hurt. It's almost like you just kind of spiritually allow yourself to be a spiritual punching bag. There's no glory in walking around beat up all the time saying, oh, it's just so bad, life's so bad, I'm just not going to make it. Oh, the devil's so hard on me. Let me tell you something. There's no spiritual glory in you walking around depressed all the time because you think the devil's beating the snot out of you. Look, there's sometimes you ought to just keep on going with some dignity, and you just look at that thing and say, okay, I got hit. But I do not get hit, and God's gonna help me get through this, and I can make it, and I can take it. You see, there's some of us, your spirit is much like a ball in a pinball machine. It's being beat around and tossed all over the place, and you have no idea where it's going to end up. You ever met the kind of person you just have no idea? I mean, are they going to go off the deep end? Are they to the right? Are they to the left? Are they up? Or are they down? Are they going down to the pit of despair? Hey, you get control of yourself. The world may be out of control, but there's more to you than just being an out-of-control Christian. You know, a young child will walk into a dangerous situation not knowing to protect themselves. But wait a minute. Are you a child? Most everybody here, you're teenagers and adults. Everything in life doesn't have to shock you and blow you away emotionally. See, we need to work at preventing spirit damage. We do this in other areas of life. Prevent forest fires. Smokey the Bear. He says we need to prevent forest fires. And we all say, that's good, Smokey. We've got to prevent forest fires. But what are you doing to prevent the destruction of your spirit? We prevent automobile injuries by taking all women off the road. I mean, no, it doesn't say that here. Prevent auto injuries by, they say, seat belts and car seats for little ones. You prevent tooth decay by just letting them rot out and get rid of them now. You prevent tooth decay. What? Well, they say you have fluoride or brushing your teeth. What are you trying to do? You're trying to protect your teeth. We try to protect people in our car. We don't want to have forest fires. Hey, you prevent poisoning with child-proof caps on medicine. And sometimes those are adult-proof, too. But what are we doing? We're preventing damage. Now listen, Christians need to realize they can and they should protect their spirit. This is a big issue. A church has a good spirit if somebody in the church is protecting their spirit. You want me to protect my spirit. What you would like is to see me walk into this pulpit no matter what comes, and we keep going and we keep doing what's right. That's what you want of me. Well, that's what I want of you. The people that leave our church upset are usually the people who didn't protect their spirit. They didn't protect their spirit. They dropped their guard, their emotion, and hurt got the best of them. And hey, the same kind of hurt came to somebody else, but they had their guard up. They had their knee pads on. They had their elbow pads on. They had their helmet on. Protect your spirit, Christian. Protect your spirit. Number two, I'm going to start telling you some of the things that I do to protect my spirit. Number two, don't get involved in problems that you can't solve. Don't get involved in problems that you can't solve. This is one of the ways I protect my spirit. Matthew 25:15 says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now the words I want you to notice there is talking about somebody being given responsibility according to their several ability. Folks, some of you need to know your ability. When you go getting involved in problems that you can't solve, you're going to quench your own spirit. There's sometimes some of you need to humble yourself and just say, this isn't my problem. And I'm not talking about in a nasty, I don't care way. I'm talking about, this isn't my problem. This problem right here is bigger than me. You need to go see Brother Bush. You need to go see Brother Cowling about this. Some of you get involved in problems and your ability cannot solve that problem. Now you have yourself in a situation where you're involved in a problem you cannot solve. Believe me, it's going to quench your spirit. It's going to knock your spirit down. And then you have to ask yourself this question. Is it your place to solve that problem? Is it your place? Sometimes we get involved in problems that really are none of our business. In other words, one of the ways of protecting your spirit is to mind your own spiritual business. Let's see. I've got a couple bus captains here tonight. Who's a bus captain here tonight? Okay. I've got Brother Stevie back here, Brother Greenlee. Both are bus captains. Brother Greenlee, you find out that Stevie's got some problem on his bus routes, and you know how he is. But let me tell you something, Brother Greenlee. Don't run your spirit in the ground worried about what Stevie's got going. Because, number one, it's not your business. It's his problem. And you take care of your bus route. But I'll tell you something. People, they get themselves involved in things that are not their place. And as a result of it, it will quench your spirit. It will get your spirit down. So we need to learn to mind our own spiritual business. When you hear of a problem and then there's nothing you can do about it, you're putting undue stress on yourself. When we get involved, and let's say we get involved in part of the church that's not in our area of jurisdiction, that'll quench your spirit. That'll get your spirit down. That'll wound your spirit. The first grade teacher needs to take care of the first grade. The second grade teacher needs to take care of the second grade. I don't need a second grade teacher trying to fix your first grade teacher, or the first grade teacher trying to fix a second grade teacher. When we get out of our area of jurisdiction, every time it damages our attitude. Are you listening to me? Some of you have bad attitudes because you are spending time in your mind or with your little clique trying to solve problems that are really none of your business. That'll get you into trouble. Listen, I don't fret over issues occurring in other churches across the area. You know something? I don't know of one problem of one church in this whole area. None. Now, I could have people in here stand up right now and tell me problems in other churches. Why? That's none of your business. And it will quench your spirit. You know something? I don't get involved in the business of churches across America. The only way I get involved in the business of a church across America is when a pastor calls me and says, help! I'll go help, then I back out and mind my own business from that point on. I don't become the dictator or the pope of that church. I don't fret about that. Why? It's not my business. And I'm telling you, if you would keep yourself from getting involved in problems that are not your business or they're not yours to solve, your spirit would stay strong longer. Number next, I don't read anonymous letters. I don't read anonymous letters. When you send me an anonymous letter, here's what I do. Here's what I read on every letter. Very first thing I read is who it's from. I don't start at the top of the letter. I start at the bottom of the letter. You write me a letter and you don't sign it, I throw it in the trash. I never read it.
Amen.
Say why? If you've not got the backbone to sign the bottom of the letter, I've got enough sense not to read it. You gonna write me a letter, you sign it. You say, you didn't read my letter? No, jerkweed. I didn't read your letter. He said there was $1,000 in it. I took the money. Hey, if I get an anonymous letter from across the country, I don't read it. You say, but wonder if it's a good one. For every good anonymous letter you get 100 bad ones. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you how I keep my spirit up. I've got to keep my spirit strong. I've got to keep my attitude strong. I'm going to take the hits of life, but I've got to make sure that my spirit is healthy so my spirit can sustain me. Most anonymous letters are negative. An unsigned letter will cause your mind to wander who wrote it, and that'll hurt your spirit. You know, then let me tell you this. Even signed letters that come from people that are constantly negative, you may need to put them off and read them when your spirit's strong enough. See, you write me an anonymous letter, I'll throw it in the trash. If you're a continually negative person, the minute I know the letter's from you, I may set it aside and say, I can't read that today. I'm not up to it. You say, well, you ought to read it right now. I'll have to determine how strong my spirit is. You'll have to determine how strong your spirit is. But there's sometimes I have to delay the reading of a letter from somebody I even know. Why? Because if they're continuously negative and they have the ability to pull my spirit down, I have to protect my spirit. By doing so, I'm more apt to be patient with them once I do read the letter. But if my spirit's down and weary and it's already beat up and then I read a negative letter from a negative person, I'm liable to want to go rip their eyes out. Like some of you do. I don't want to rip eyes out. I want throats. So, what do I do? How do I try to protect my spirit? I don't get involved in problems I can't solve, and I only solve problems in my area. Secondly, I don't read anonymous letters. Thirdly, if my letter is signed, but it's from someone that routinely is negative and critical, I'll set it aside. I'll read it when my spirit is able. Number next, I don't read negative materials. Romans 16:19 says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, that yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know something? I don't want to read all the negative about everybody. I have no desire for that. I don't read materials written for the purpose of attacking other fundamental Baptist preachers. There's some of you do. Now look, probably if there's anybody in the room tonight that might want to have their pulse on what's happening in fundamentalism, I host 3 national conferences. I have national conferences across the country. I travel 100,000 miles a year. I pastor and counsel churches and pastors by the hundreds. But you don't want to know something? I don't want to know everything that's wrong with every other church out there. There's some of you, you know more about the scuttlebutt and the garbage and the trash of fundamentalism than your own pastor is. Who do you think you can solve those problems? No wonder you have such a bad attitude. You've got your spirit poisoned. People will run to the internet, see anything they can find on anybody. I have no interest. I've never been to the internet to read anything negative on anybody, ever. Ever in my life. I couldn't take you anywhere where you could find it. Why is it so quiet? Some little old lady can pass you in the hallway here and sneer at you and you're ready to quit, commit suicide, and run away. Why? You've got your spirit so poisoned and so down by all the things that you let happen to your spirit. You don't have a healthy spirit. Someone hears that somebody wrote some letter or wrote something against some other church or pastor, they run to it like hog slop. Well, I'm a sheep. Sheep don't eat hog slop. Listen, I'll warn you of this. Constantly reading critical columns, even in the local newspapers, could hurt your spirit. You can only take so much criticism. Can I tell you something? I love watching baseball. Me and my stepdad, Bill, we've been watching baseball for days. I've enjoyed it. You know what I can't stand? I can't take all the criticism after every game.
Well, he didn't do this right. He didn't do that right. He didn't do this right. He didn't do that right. He didn't do this right. I would rather watch baseball and have some fun.
Men that are writing columns about baseball players, and the men writing the column have never been on base one time. You know what? I like to enjoy life. And if you read, you know, again, I'm telling you, I don't read a bunch of negative materials. You know, and you better watch even the national news. I love the fact that there's conservative news, but if you're not careful and all you do is watch it all day long, you're going to be suicidal. It'll depress you. You say, I need some good news. Read the Bible. So, I'm talking about helping you to protect your spirit. It's your responsibility to protect your spirit. Since you know that it can be broken, you might need to do something to protect it. So what do? I don't read anonymous letters. What do? I don't get involved in problems that are none of my business. I make sure that even when there is a negative letter that's signed, I'm cautious when I read it. Then I don't read negative materials. I don't look for negative periodicals. I don't look for negative newspapers. Listen, if I find out that a newspaper, let's say even a Christian newspaper, turns and starts attacking someone, I'll put the newspaper down. I can start reading it into an article and I see they're getting ready to try to tear up some brother, I just throw it away. I put it aside. I'm one of the stupidest people in fundamentalism when it comes to the hubbub of what's going on. People walk up to me and say, what do you believe about this? I'll say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Or you travel the country. I know I travel the country for Jesus. I'm not looking for negative. I'm looking for positive. I'm not trying to build the kingdom of man. I'm trying to build the kingdom of God. And I've got to keep my spirit strong enough to sustain me. I've got enough problems with the devil personally. I don't need to get involved in things that are none of my business. Number next. I sustain my spirit by not listening to negative music. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his harp, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Saul had a down spirit. Saul was a leader. Saul was a king. And let me tell you something. The higher in leadership you get, the purer your music will need to be, because your music can help sustain your spirit. You're going to need the right kind of music to sustain your spirit. That's why some of you aren't moving up. Your music's not moving out. If you'd get the bad music out, you'd move up, because your spirit would get better and you could take the beating that comes when leadership gets hit. Leadership does get hit, and music is an important part of your life. Saul calls upon David to provide some calming, positive music to heal his spirit. David played the right kind of music, and the evil spirit departed, and Saul's spirit was lifted. Rock and roll music will hurt your spirit. Any parent of a teenager here could tell you. I'll tell you this. It didn't take me long with a teenager, and if you watch their spirit change, you can almost predict when their music is changing. Brother Nash, wouldn't you agree? Bad music produces bad attitude, especially in a teenager. Parents, when you see that bad attitude all of a sudden cropping up, you better start checking and find out what kind of CDs and what kind of music they're listening to. Country music, where we're talking about drinking beer and dancing with somebody else's wife, is not going to help your spirit. Especially in a day and age when marriages are falling apart right and left. You better get the right music and you'll have a better spirit in your marriage. Rap music will destroy your spirit. You say, what do? If your spirit goes down, get the right kind of music. It can lift your spirit. But bad music will destroy your spirit. So if you want to protect your spirit, get the right kind of music. Number six. If you want to protect your spirit, and it is every person here, it's your responsibility to protect your spirit. It's your job. You're supposed to do it. You're not to float through life taking punch after punch after punch and always having emotional disturbances every time you get hit. There's times a day when you need to take a punch and say, that hurt, but I think I'll just keep going here. And that's because you have protected your spirit. Number six, don't run with negative people. Listen to these verses as it describes people and their spirits. Listen to this. Numbers 5:14 says, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife. There is the spirit of jealousy. Listen, Isaiah 19:14, it says, the Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. There the Bible talks about somebody with a perverse spirit. Mark 1:23 says, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Here people can have unclean spirits. People can have perverse spirits. People can have jealous spirits. Hosea chapter 5, verse number 14, it says, for I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away, I will take away, and none shall rescue him. And in the next verse or so, it speaks of the spirit of whoredoms. There's a lustful spirit. Let's face it, there's some people, and they can develop bad spirits, and those bad spirits, hey, you ever heard the old saying, you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas? You play with pigs, you're going to smell like one? Let me tell you something, you spend your time with people with a bad spirit, you'll end up with a bad spirit. I think one of the best statements for some of you to hear is we're to be friendly to everyone, but we're not to be best friends with everybody. Everybody in this church, and I thank God, everybody in this church, those of you that are right with God and those of you that are not, those of you that sneak around and are two-faced, backstabbing, gossip, those of you that live one way on this property and another way off the property, those of you that lie to your pastor, let me make something very clear to you. I love you, and I'm your friend. But I would not recommend that everybody in this church be best friends to everybody in this church. Just all there is to it. You say, well, the church ought to be a haven. It is. You're going to find the highest percentage of the right kind of Christian and true blue friends in the church. But I'm going to tell you, not everybody here is worthy of your best friend commitment. Be friendly. Be kind. That doesn't mean that you spend hours and hours. And some of you need to turn your text little device off and stop texting certain people. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your spirit. There are some people that are bad for your spirit. For some of you, your primary attitude problem is your choice of friends. Your friends will either sharpen your spirit or they'll dull your spirit. It shouldn't be hard for you to pick up on. You ought to be able to know if by being with that person if you're a better Christian or you're a worse Christian. My wife would tell you this. I don't have a lot of friends. And what I mean is I don't have a lot of what you'd call best friends. First of all, in my position, I don't have that privilege. I'm sorry. I would love to go fishing with you men. I'd love to go to Five Guys and eat a double cheeseburger with bacon and lettuce and tomato, mayonnaise, pickle and mustard, a double order of French fries, a chocolate shake. My position, even with pastors, because pastors, once they call me and ask my advice, I feel like I need to keep I need to be able to keep on helping them. And when you're buddy-buddy, pow-pow with everybody, you don't get to help them as much. I don't get a lot of time with what I call bosom buddies. But I'll tell you this, when I do get time with someone, I protect my spirit. I will not be best friends with a negative person. I will not. I have changed friendships time and time again because I've watched people that I now must be friendly toward, but I can't be best friends with because they can't control their mouth. They can't control their own spirit. They're negative. They're critical. And I will not spend a bunch of time with them. You say, why? Number one, I love the Lord, and it's wrong. But number two, I love you, and you need me to stay on top side. Number three, I love other pastors across the country, and those pastors need me to stay on top side so I can help them when they're down, when they feel like they can't go on. Somebody's got to tell somebody when the chips are down, we can do this. We can make it through it, and we can take it. If you love people, some of you would change friends if you love people because your friends are getting you down and you're not helping people because of your associations. I'm not saying not to love them. I'm not saying don't be friendly. I'm just saying when you spend an abundance of time with critical, negative people, you are damaging your own spirit. And by so doing, you may find yourself out of God's will, but you're not helping as many people as what you could. Let me go on. Number seven. Don't repeat negative things. You want to keep your spirit up, don't repeat negative things. Gossip will destroy your attitude and the attitude of others. Let me read some scriptures to you about the misuse of the tongue. Psalm 120, verse 3 says, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Proverbs 10:31 says, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out." The Bible says in Proverbs 17:4, "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to naughty tongue." There's a naughty tongue. So here the Bible tells us there's a false tongue, a froward tongue, a naughty tongue. Here in Proverbs 17:20 it says, "He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief." Now God tells us there's a perverse tongue. Proverbs 25:23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." Now the Bible talks about a backbiting tongue. Listen, when we repeat negative things, when we repeat gossip, we are pulling our own spirit down. Our own spirit. There's sometimes people think I'm dumb because I don't go around talking about any of the negative hubbub about the church. It's not a matter that your pastor doesn't know. It's a matter of your pastor doesn't think it's your business, and your pastor thinks that certain things just don't need to be repeated. Your pastor's not a gossip. You won't take me out to coffee and pull gossip out of me. I'm not for sale. I don't work that way. I love the people of this congregation. I will keep my mouth shut. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not a talker. Pastors across America know I'm not a talker. Their talk starts going negative. I'll just shut them up. I'll say, "Can't we talk about something else? Tell me what you're studying for your sermon this week." You see, negative talk is a result of negative thinking, and it'll hurt your spirit. Negative talk is a result of negative listening. Negative talk is a result of negative reading. Your negative talk hurts others, but it will destroy you. Now listen, if you negative talk about me, I probably will make it through it because I'm doing what I can to protect my spirit. But when you negative talk about me, thinking you might destroy me, the one you're most apt to destroy is you. Because you're the one that dropped your guard. You're the one that now is letting the devil tamper with your spirit. You say, "Well, I'm talking about him, or I'm talking about her, or I'm talking about this, or I'm talking about that." And all the time you're doing it, you're drinking poison into your own spirit. You're not doing yourself any good by doing that. And so, I'd be careful gossiping and repeating things that don't need to be repeated. Number eight, if you want to protect your spirit, you need to walk in the spirit, don't walk in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit." See, let his spirit keep your spirit healthy. Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." This verse proves that God's spirit communicates with our spirit. Now listen, people with wounded or broken spirits, for some reason, were not walking in the spirit when the harmful blow struck. That's what happens. Let me advise this. You and I, we do not know when the hit will come that could damage our spirit. You know, when the hit comes and you get down and you're depressed and you're hopeless and you just feel like, "Oh, everything's all over with," everybody will get there for a moment. But let me tell you, you better just walk in the spirit 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because you don't know when the hardship's going to come. We would say, "You know what, if I seen hardship on the horizon, I'd get myself right with God." You don't always get to see hardship on the horizon. You better just stay right with God. Well, if God told me that I was going to face a heartbreak, if God told me I was going to face a terrible thing, well, I'd go to the altar and I'd submit myself to the Holy Spirit and I'd shore up. I'd limber up. I'd get ready for the hit. The only problem is, folks, the devil's looking to hit you when you're weak. So what do? Walk in the Spirit all the time. Walk in the Spirit all the time. I feel so sorry for people that think you have religion down at the church house and you go home and live any way you want. I mean, good gravy. How in the world do they make it? Because they're dead sure not walking in the Spirit out there in the world. Sure, we ought to walk in the Spirit while we're at church, but you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit at church, but be filled with yourself at home. And so if you want to protect your spirit, you walk in the Spirit of God. And His Holy Spirit will strengthen you, and it'll make you strong so when the hit comes, you can bear it. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. I said this. You can and should protect your spirit. I said, first of all, don't get involved in problems that you can't solve. And make sure it is your problem to solve. Then, don't read anonymous letters. Then, don't even read sign letters from negative people until your spirit's capable. Next, don't read negative materials. Next, don't listen to negative music. Next, don't run with negative people. Next, don't repeat negative things. Next, make sure that you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Let me give you a couple more and we'll get done. Next, don't hurt the spirit of others. Do you care about other people's attitude? Do you care about other people's spirit? Don't only protect your own spirit, but protect the spirit of others. Husbands, you listen to me and listen to me well. Your wife will be your greatest encourager in life if you work at protecting her spirit. Men that constantly tell their wives everything that goes wrong, I don't know any way to tell you this other than we live in a weak-kneed generation of wimpy men. Men want to cry to their wives about everything. Whine to your wife. Whine to her. Tell her everything that went wrong at work today and everything that's wrong down at the church and everything that's wrong with everything. And you wonder why she can't encourage you. You just discourage the one that is there to encourage you. Not many men saying amen, but that's okay. I'm your friend. I'm trying to help you. I grew up in a generation where men protected their wives. I grew up in a generation where the man was strong for the wife, and the wife, she was there to back the man and help the man and encourage the man. I did not grow up in a generation where daddy was a whiny baby. All right, I like it. Do you spend your life trying to protect the spirits of other people? Boy, all day long, I have to tell you, all day long, everybody I'm with, I'm constantly asking myself, can their spirit sustain this? Is this good for them? Can they take it right now? I'm always watching the attitude and the spirit of the people around me. What's my responsibility? Now, I need to protect my own spirit. Why? So my spirit is strong enough to help your spirit. But you get a bunch of people, all they care about is themselves. That's pretty stingy. Husbands, protect your wife's spirit. Wife, learn how to protect your husband's spirit, son. Hey, look, ma'am, if you've been home all day long and he's been off in the world working, it might not be a good idea for you to meet him at the door and tell him the 25 things that went wrong today at the house. Don't hand him a dirty diaper and a toilet plunger and a wrench and tell him, well, the faucet's leaking, the baby's dirty, the toilet's clogged, we got a bill that we can't pay. Honey, save us. Listen, you just about killed him. Let him get home and relax. He's been out in the world fighting the devil and the Democrats and everything else. Give him a chance. We need to protect one another's spirit. Let me tell you something, ladies. One of the hardest days in a man's life is payday. You say, why? It is such a short day in his life. Anymore, you don't even see money. It's no wonder people want to go out and get drunk on the weekend. Monday's coming. Friday was payday. They have nothing to show. Ladies, let me tell you something. Be encouraging. Learn to read one another's spirits. Let's learn to protect one another's spirits. We need to protect the children's spirit. Again, I grew up in a generation. Everything that went wrong around my house, my mom didn't come to us kids and say, this is a dark day in the family. We're all going to die. My mother and father protected my spirit because I was just a child. But today, it's every man for himself. Let's have emotional trauma. Let's all fall apart at the seams. Let's all be a bunch of whining, namby-pamby, crybabies. Grow up! Grow up! So he needs to go on Dr. Phil and preach his sermon. Everybody here that's a leader, every person here that's a leader, you have to be extra cautious about the spirit of the people around you. Always be monitoring those spirits. I'm not talking about being judgmental. I'm talking about caring enough to protect their spirits. Thank God for followers that try to protect the spirits of leaders. See, what you say may be right, but the way you say it may not be good for their spirit, when you say it, and how much you say. Before you say anything to another, ask yourself if it will damage their spirit. Ask about the delivery. Ask about the timing. I thank God our staff helps protect my spirit. Here's what they'll do. Listen, if something's not going well at the church, they're careful to protect my spirit right before I preach. Why? They know I need to come to this pulpit and preach the message of God. I don't need to come to this pulpit mad at somebody. I don't need to come to this pulpit with an extra burden on my heart. I need to deliver the message of God. They protect my spirit that way. Now, there are some of you, you need to learn to protect one another's spirits. Your wife is about to teach Sunday school. That's not the time to have a fuss with her. She's about to deliver the word of God. Your husband's about to sing a solo in the pulpit. It's time for you to protect his spirit. He's about to do something. And we need to learn that people have spirits and attitudes and all of us as Christians, if we love each other, we're going to try to protect one another's spirits. Let me tell you this. You want to protect your spirit. Don't be one that seeks revenge. Psalm 94:1 says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Vengeful people have terrible attitudes. I can tell you this right now. I have no animosity in my heart toward any human being on the face of this earth. I'm not out to get anybody. I would give my enemy the shirt off of my back today, and I'm not just talking. I am testifying. God is my witness. There are people that hate me. There are people that would love to have me resign this church and walk away. I love them. I'm their friend. I'm not going to give them what they want, but I'm not angry with them. I would buy them a cup of coffee today. I'd feed their family today. I love them. I am their friend. I will not live my life seeking revenge. And because we have that vengeance in us, it destroys our spirit. Vengeful people damage themselves. Vengeful people have very unhealthy spirits. Don't become a part of somebody else's vengeance or vengeful acts. Hey, stay with me now. Don't dwell on the negatives of others if you don't want to have a poor spirit. Psalm 133:1 says, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I hope all of you can get this. I wish I had 30 minutes to develop this thought. But I don't dwell on the negatives of other people. That's my business. I pretty well could look at just about anybody in this church I know well. I know your positives. I know your negatives. I know your strengths. I know your weaknesses. I want to put you at ease. I don't think about your negatives. I think about your positives. One church member comes to me to gripe about another church member. They come to me with negatives. You know what I always point out? The other guy's positives. Everybody has assets and liabilities. I specialize in assets. Now, your problem is you look at their liabilities. All you have to do is shift your look. Look at their assets. Everybody has positives and everybody has negatives. Just start looking at their positives. That's all you have to do. Look, and look, usually, to whatever degree someone has an asset, they have a liability that is just as great. That's just usually the way it is. You have a very strong, capable leader. He may be bullheaded. I don't know of any like that. But don't spend your time concentrating on the negatives of people. That'll keep your spirit strong. Let me see how many this says here. I have two left, but they're going to be quick. Finally, don't form an opinion on everything. Don't form an opinion on everything. Opinionated people find their spirits quenched in often. Don't form an opinion about somebody else's duty. Well, my opinion is it your duty? No. Keep your opinion to yourself. Matter of fact, don't even think about it. Don't form an opinion on somebody else's decision that they made. It's not your decision. Why do you have to form an opinion? You keep your spirit better that way. Don't form an opinion about somebody else's failure. Well, my opinion is if she would have done this or he would have done that, what business is it of yours? You know, I'll travel the country. Pastors, they'll come to me and say, Preacher, just tell me anything you think I need to change about my church. Unless I see something that would destroy their church, I don't make comments. I'm not there. I don't really want to talk to them about what I might think as a negative, because most of it's just my opinion. If they're preaching proper doctrine and sticking with the right Bible, hey, they're good to go. They're good to go. But be careful now. Those of us that are strongly opinionated, if we're not careful, we're always making judgment calls on everybody and everything, and you're going to have your spirit quenched. We ruin our own spirits by sticking our noses into other people's business. And so be very, very careful. I promise you, strongly opinionated people can have fits of depression, and they can have all sorts of problems with themselves, because they've got they're deciding what everybody else ought to do with everybody else's things, and they'll have themselves a mess. Y'all hear that? It's true. So be careful now. Be careful to control those opinions, because they'll get you into trouble. And finally, here's something that I have to do. When I know I'm emotionally overloaded, I try not to take any more on until my spirit's a little stronger. Now, don't start quitting things. One of the worst things you can do to yourself is, if your spirit's down, you just start quitting things. That's your depression talking. That's the devil winning the victory. But I can tell you this. If you're down, don't quit anything. But if you're down, don't start taking a bunch of extra things on. You're just asking to be a kamikaze pilot.
You're saying, well, let's just crash and burn. I'll look good going out. No, you look like an idiot going out. My staff would tell you, my wife would tell you, there are times when I say to myself, okay, I just can't take any more right now. I'm going to go have a cheeseburger. That's sad. Let's eat our way out of this thing. Get out the chocolate ice cream. One thing I do with my spirit is I stay in my schedule. If something hits me, I don't start canceling everything around me. I stay with my schedule. I keep my mind on my work. I'll shut out the problem. I'll keep working, and I'll work my way through it. But I don't at that moment say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just take on a bunch extra. You got to know yourself. When you say, okay, right now, I better not take on anything else. My spirit can't handle it. Get your spirit healthy. Start growing again, and then take that extra duty on. If I come to you and say, hey, how would you like to, and you say to yourself, boy, I just can't do anymore right now. Just say this to me. Say, preacher, I'd love to do that. I don't think I can right now. Give me some time, and if you could, talk to me about it again someday. I'll come back and talk to you about it again someday. I won't question you. I don't want you overloaded. But the Bible tells us a person's spirit can be broken. Well, if it can be broken, then you and I ought to be smart enough to know how to do whatever we can to protect it so it doesn't get broken. So get that mink oil out. Put it on your ball glove. Get ready, because the storms of life...